Continue to focus on this wonderful chapter, this wonderful book. As you know, that Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus Christ. And when we get to chapter 13, the emphasis on, now that you know the superiority of Christ and you're living for Him, what are you going to do about it? In fact, so far we've looked at in this chapter various topics related to relationships. And you say, well, Brother Francine, I was expecting a message on Labor Day. Well, here's my only connection today. Sometimes keeping and maintaining relationships is some of the more work-intensive things that we do. Would you agree with what I'm saying? Okay, so that's my connection there. I'm sorry that that's all the deeper I'm going when it comes to Labor Day. But we are going to talk about relationships. And if you remember, in 13:1, it says, let brotherly love continue. And then it immediately goes into a series of applications. How are we to utilize brotherly love with strangers? We talked about the unknown. How are we to use brotherly love when it comes to Christians that are bound for their faith? And we talked about them being the unseen. And we talked about those that are in adversity, those that maybe are not so wanted. In verse 4, 13:4, we talked about relationship in marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. We talked about that word means precious. And last week, we looked at verses 5 and 6, and it's our relationship to material things. Material things. Let's not have any covetousness, and let's be content with such things as we have. Now, you'll notice where we go today is verse 7 and 8, and I've entitled this Relationships with Spiritual Leaders. Relationship with Spiritual Leaders. Let's ask the Lord to minister to us as we look at this important text. Father, we are thankful for relationships, and I'm certainly not making light of the truth that it takes much effort, much work, maybe much labor to maintain relationships. And Lord, yet you have made us to be relational people. You want us to have relationships. And as we look at this text today, we understand the importance of the relationship between spiritual leaders and those in the church. So I pray that you would help all of us, Lord, to see truth that we need and that we would apply that truth and live that truth in the days and weeks ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you and I are going to have the right relationship, it's very important that we remember some important things. In fact, you'll notice here in verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, I'm not going to go there, but in verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. And later on, it says, salute them. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. So I want us to think about just the first, remember them which have the rule over you. The word remember means to exercise the memory. In fact, that might be another application, so I can apply it to Labor Day. If you've ever tried to remember something, you know that it takes work. Brother Chris is guiding us in this memory program. The I am, our resume with Christ. You know, I am redeemed. I am justified. I am sanctified. All those kind of things. And so it takes work every week if you're going to memorize them. Don't you wish that you could just do this? I got it, you know. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes diligent work to remember. It literally means that we're going to exercise our memory, or we're going to rehearse. And I want to remind you that the Bible is full of admonitions to remember. Now, I'm not going to these today, but I just want to refresh your memory. And that is, in Matthew it says, remember, Jesus says to the disciples, remember the five loaves? He wanted them to remember that he can take little or nothing and accomplish great things. In Luke 17, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Remember not to turn back to worldliness. Remember that worldliness is not the way to go. It's the way to destruction. In John 15, remember the servant is not greater than his Lord. They persecuted Christ. Guess what? We as believers should expect trials and difficulties to be a part of our Christian walk and existence. In Acts chapter 20, it says, remember the warnings. And one of the warnings is, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. In Ephesians 2, remember that you were Gentiles. You were uncircumcised. Remember what God has done through Jesus Christ to bring you into that covenant relationship. You don't have to be a Jew. As a Gentile, we have that same right and privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul expressed his heart in Colossians 4 when he says, remember my bonds. Don't forget me in prison. That would be one of those applications of let brotherly love continue to those that have been imprisoned for their faith. In 2 Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Every week, every day, we ought to be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the admonition is that you and I need to work at remembering what's important. You know what the problem is? Have you ever noticed that sometimes we get exposed to something that we don't want to remember? And it can stick there. That's where I think you have to apply the scripture that says bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every day we are in a battle related to our thoughts. Okay? And we need to capture and destroy the wrong thoughts. We need to confess them as sin and focus on truth. And when we think about renewing our mind, as Romans 12 talks about, we need to constantly be taking the truth of God's word and engrafting it into our being, into our soul, so that we remember what is so vitally important for us. Now notice, though, in verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, if you don't understand that, you could get off base in a couple of different directions. One direction is you could become blindly loyal, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. That's not the way to go. The other thing is you could say, like a lot of people say in America, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. I make my own rules. Just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. By the way, do we think Christians are exempt from those kinds of problems? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So it becomes very, very important that we understand what's meant. In fact, the phrase rule over you simply means a leader, somebody who's put in a position of leading. And it's important for us that we are constantly helping ourselves by keeping a right balance. We talk about that all the time. It's important to live a balanced Christian life. Now, you'll notice, in addition, I'm going to give you some highlights, and then we're going to camp on a few here in a minute. But notice it says also, not only are we to remember, but it says, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. And that is a very important aspect of things, because the word follow literally means to mimic. To mimic. Now, we don't always have the best connotation there, but Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ. He says, mimic what I'm doing as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the point here is not blind loyalty, but biblical loyalty. Biblical loyalty. In fact, in 3 John, verse 11, it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. So the clear admonition in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 is that you and I need to remember spiritual leaders. You say, well, Brother Francine, aren't you saying to me today that I need to listen to you? No, I'm not speaking about this in a selfish way. Because, you know, I sat home this week and I thought about a guy named Jerry Skorzewski. How you like that for a good Swedish name? No, Polish name. You know what I'm saying? And you have no idea who Jerry Skorzewski is. But he came to my church when I was a teenager. And he stood in the pulpit of the church that I was at. And he reminded us that following and trusting Jesus Christ is the most important decision you could make. And I got up from back there where Joe Starr is sitting. I was in Moline, Illinois, so I'm not here. But I got up and I walked to the altar, and you know who dealt with me? Jerry Skorzewski. And I was a troubled young man because I was double-minded. Went to a big public school, had lots of friends, wanted to be popular, wanted them to like me. And if I wanted them to like me, then I was challenged to compromise what my parents had brought me up to believe and what my church taught. So he knelt with me there at the altar. And I was crying. You just thought I cried now, but I was cried back then too. And he said, Bob, why are you here? And I said, well, I said, I was convicted of my sin when you were preaching, but I'm afraid to trust Christ. Why are you afraid to trust Christ? Well, because if I trust Christ, then I probably can't keep doing this, and I probably can't do that, and I want to go here in the future, and I probably can't do that. And I had my long list. And he said, Bob, truth of the matter is, if you give your life to Christ, you only have to give up one thing. I said, baloney, not one thing. It's got to be many things. I'm thinking of many things. I don't think I said baloney, but I said that here today. But anyway, I really argued with him. I really argued with him. And he said, no, you just have to give up one thing. I said, okay. Finally, I said, what is that one thing? Being the boss of your life. And he said, you know something? Jesus Christ is the best boss you will ever know from now through eternity. That made sense to me. And I realized I was double-minded, not because I was just double-minded, but because I did want to be the boss. Don't look at me so strange. Some of you want to be the boss too, don't you? Don't we want to be the boss? We want to be in control. We want to call the shots. We want to do our thing. And that day, I was 15 years of age. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Remember them which have the rule over you. I hadn't thought about Jerry Skorzewski in a long time. Haven't seen him since. Remember. Don't forget. But I want to remind you that there's an important truth here. And that is You might call them qualifiers. It's not just people that rule over you, but notice what the writer here has in mind. Look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the what? Word of God. This is where we have to be careful. God is not calling us to blind loyalty to some preacher. And that includes me. He's calling you to follow biblical leaders that understand that the only ultimate authority is right here. And as long as they're giving this out, and they're giving it clearly and precisely, you can follow them. That's what Paul meant when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not about just, yes, I'm a good follower. Follow those that spoken unto you the word of God. Not their opinions, not their intellect, but the word of God. I am so grateful that I don't have to come up every Sunday and figure out what I'm going to say. What I have to do is come up and figure out and share what this says and give it as clear and precise as I can. I wish sometimes I was doing better at it, but the point is that you and I can both read this Bible, and throughout the week we probably don't have a preacher standing in front of us, but we can still look to the Word of God. But notice the emphasis here. It's in the past tense. Remember them which have the rule over you. Could I challenge you to think this morning about people in the past that have spoken the word of God to you? Don't forget them. In fact, I was prompted to say this. If I could find out where Jerry Skorzewski is and he's still alive, I'd write him a big thank you note, don't you think? Or call him up. Maybe you're not so distant as I am. That's been 51 years ago. And I don't know anything about him, but you might know some people that have spoken the word of God to you, that have ministered to you. Notice it doesn't say they have to stand behind a pulpit to do it. They could have been in one of those classrooms over there, teaching faithfully. Could have been Wednesday night in master clubs. How important it is that you and I remember them which have the rule over us. I think the important thing, would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 a minute? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm only going to go here and then we'll go back and stay there, but I do want to remind you here this morning, if you are someone that gives out the word of God, you are not some dictator, you are not God, you are not the Holy Spirit, you are not a know-it-all, you have an awesome responsibility. That's why James says what? Be not many masters, teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. Condemnation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says this, for yourselves, brethren, know, I'm in verse 1, our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. If you give out the word of God here, and there's many of you that do on a weekly basis, we need to be praying that nothing we do comes up empty, comes up vanity. And we know the word of God never comes up empty. But if we get off the word of God and get ourselves in the wrong place, we can have problems. Then notice verse 2. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. If you give out the word of God, you need to be bold. Bold in proclaiming the gospel, the only good news. There aren't multiple gospels. There's only one gospel. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Verse 3, for exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. There needs to be purity in our ministry. If you have a privilege to give out the Word of God, maybe you lead a Bible study at work. Maybe you have a privilege on a daily basis to have family devotions and you're leading it. You're giving out the Word of God. It needs to be done in a pure fashion. Goes on to say in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. I wrote down the ultimate one who gives out the Word of God is giving it out, realizing that God is listening to every word and focused. Notice verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. We need to not do anything for covetousness' sake. We need to understand that this is not about flattering people to give and to do things in that regard. We are simply to give out the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it stings and stabs. But that's part of the responsibility. We're not talking about, just fluttery words that will try to encourage somebody. Be careful about somebody who only wants to speak things that tickle your fancy. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm not talking about going around wounding one another, but that verse is talking about we need to be faithful to help people. We need to tell people the truth. We could go on there. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. You know what he's saying? I didn't come to you and play the apostle card. I didn't come and say, hey, I'm apostle. Listen up. He came with a spirit of, I am one of you, and I want to share the truth. Verse 7 talks about being gentle. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And talks about affection and compassion. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, you were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And then he noted this important verse, another tie into Labor Day. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul didn't come and he didn't say, take care of me and I'll preach. He said, I'm willing to work and labor and earn money to support my family, but I'm going to faithfully preach the word of God. Do you see what we're talking about here? We're talking about, do we have the kind of faith, leaders, that others would want to follow? That others should follow? Are we faithfully, diligently giving out the Word of God? You know, I had a remarkable find, F-I-N-D, this week. And that find has to do with the end of verse 7. Considering the end of their conversation. We know that the word conversation means not just what they say, but their lifestyle. And when I was looking up that word end, it's the Greek word ekbasis. It literally means an exit. An exit. You say, I'm not with you yet. I wasn't either. I wasn't even with myself until I started tracing the word in the New Testament. And I think you're very familiar with 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Lord is faithful, who will also give a way of escape. Exact same Greek word. So in Hebrews 13, where it says, considering the end of their conversation, one could say, consider how they applied the way of escape in their lifestyle. What's the way of escape? The way of escape that God is talking about is escaping temptation and not letting temptation become a sinful snare to us. Are you with me? Shake it to make sure. This was an interesting thought to me, and I wanted to make sure I'm not just looking for consent as consent, but you see what he's saying here? Whose faith follow? You and I need to follow people that have learned how to find that way of escape so that temptation doesn't overtake them and they become a victim of sin. Because we are not to let any man say when we're tempted, we're not tempted of God, but every man is tempted what? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's when sin occurs. Jesus was tempted. He didn't sin. He applied the way of escape. Could I remind you that his way of escape was in that wilderness, that garden, that experience was to what? Repeat scripture back to Satan. A way of escape. That was a very significant thought to me because, you know, when you say considering the end of their conversation, you kind of think of, well, consider how they finished life. How did they finish life? Well, for some of us speaking the word of God, it's not the end of life. I mean, we don't know. We could die today, but we're not anticipating that, right? But how are we doing finding the way of escape? I purposed to delve into that passage in weeks to come here. Don't have time this morning. But I thought that was so very, very interesting. Well, let me get to the end here, because I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. Have you ever wondered how verses got put there in the order they got put? First of all, they never were put as verses. They were put as paragraphs, essay form. So you read that. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end, the way of escape of their lifestyle, how they escape temptation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't know. That verse seems like it. I mean, it's absolute truth. But how does that relate? I think it relates this way. Jesus Christ is the constant in life. And he's saying that leaders that have understood Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever are the ones that you want to follow. Now you say, well, you know, I can name you, Brother Francine, a pastor that preached when I was younger, and they went off the path. They fell into sin. They're out of the ministry. So we're talking about it's not blind loyalty, but it's loyalty ultimately to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. What Jesus has done for leaders like that, do you realize he's promised to do for us? That's what's encompassed in that promise. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Those that have stayed with the Lord Jesus and been faithful and finished strong can help us do the same thing. And he wants to. He wants to. I want to remind us of these last thoughts. I think I wrote down about five or six of them. Here they are. This would be my bottom line from this text. Number one, remember that all men miss the mark. But do they continue to miss the mark or do they repent? This is not talking about, hey, follow perfect men. follow perfect ladies that never sin. We know there's nobody like that. But the key is, what do we do with our sin? We've got scripture replete with admonitions of people that God has highly praised. David, a man after God's own heart. Adultery and murder. Those are significant things. Moses, meekest man on the planet. He murdered an Egyptian, remember that? And the list goes on and on and on. Paul stood there and said, "Stone that guy, Stephen." He consented to his death. And yet, we probably admire Paul as much as any person in the New Testament. Would you say? I think that's right. So remember that all men miss the mark. The question is, how long do they stay missing? Do they come back? And do they deal with things? Secondly, remember, you are not an island. Find spiritual mentors to follow. I've heard of people that have said this, "You know what? I'm tired of pastors. I'm tired of Bible teachers. I'm just following Jesus." Hebrews 13:7 would say, unbiblical. That is not the way it works. I don't see this as an option here. I see this as a command. Remember them which have the rule over you. It doesn't say just remember. It says, whose faith follow. Don't be an island. There are people that do that all the time. Oh, I don't need church. I don't need a pastor. I'll turn the TV on when I need somebody to speak to me or whatever. That is not biblical. It is not right. Don't fool yourself into believing that's the way that you should go. Thirdly, remember that failures in leaders should not say, or they should say this: when a leader fails and disappoints us, stick with Jesus. Follow what I'm saying? And find somebody else that will be a spiritual mentor. And I'm always amazed at people that say, and I'm sure you maybe have all heard this before, "No, I'm not going back to church. It's full of hypocrites." And I always want to remind them, have you read anything recently about doctors or pharmacists that were hypocritical in their practice? And if you get cancer, are you telling me you're not going to go to the doctor? Follow what I'm saying? And you could name any sort of thing. Any number of things. It's such a foolish, foolish thing to say. Are there hypocrites in the church? Absolutely, yes. Does that make the church bad? Absolutely no. Because we're not following just anybody. We're following people who give out and live by the word of God and who have learned to find an end or a way of escape in the midst of their temptations. Let me finish up here. Remember that mimicking the world proves you are an enemy of God. Now, that's not in this text, but I think it applies today. This is talking about mimicking godly leaders and ultimately mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. James says it this way, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Teenager, I remind you today, the world is raising its beautiful electronic devices in front of you. And I'm not against electronic devices. It's what's on those electronic devices that you choose to put there that could be pulling you into worldliness, pulling you into following the world system. Don't mimic the world. Start today, number four, I think I'm on, five. Start today to remember and follow those who have impacted you with the word and with the way of life. I'm guessing that some of you thought about somebody today in the light of this message, that when you leave this place today, you should write them a letter. I thought about Miss Barra back there. She'll tell you about Mr. and Mrs. Moore. Are they still alive? You ought to hear her testimony. Talk about Titus 2. Remember, follow their faith. And lastly, remember this. You can live godly no matter who is around you, even if you don't feel like you've got somebody you can follow. Because here's the bottom line truth on this passage. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the answer for every challenge that you face. And you can look to him. Now, I don't think many of us have the problem that we can't find some people that are giving us biblical truth and whose faith we should follow. So I'm not discounting that. I'm not trying to change the passage. But I'm saying if you ever find yourself in a place where you feel like you've got no one around you, don't forget Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you because you are the same. You're the same in mercy. You're the same in grace. You're the same in forgiveness. You're the same in compassion. Lord, you are everything that we need. Lord, we thank you again for relationships, relationships in the body of Christ. Lord, right now there's some children listening to some people giving out the word of God. Lord, my prayer would be that if we are one of those spiritual leaders, that we would have a total loyalty to you and your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the kind of faith that others should follow, that we have and are diligently finding the way of escape in the midst of all the temptations that are in our world. And Lord, we all need those people in our lives that we can look to. Lord, if there's somebody here today who is struggling with some mentors, someone that could help them, I pray that this day would be the day that they would find somebody. They would look to them, they would ask good questions, and they would seek to hear biblical truth. So, Father, you guide us now as we finish this service time. Church, I'm going to ask you to stand.